are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other help I know. You are my protector.
Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. This show is dedicated to spreading the truth of God's Word, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. Feel free to give us a call tonight, 713-955-0508. If you would like to email us your questions or comments or concerns, you can do so at my email, srbutler1009@yahoo.com. You can also contact me in my business line at the Carolina Studio at number 910-425-1922. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ around the world. If you need help locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to email us or call us, and we'll be happy to assist you. Again, take out your Bibles and follow along with us, because you're listening to What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. Listening to this radio broadcast, Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina Studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to give you a word from the Lord. So let's go to God in a word of prayer that we may thank Him for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts to be at this point in time in our lives, Lord. Now, we are on this broadcast, and we are prepared now to proclaim a portion of your holy and divine word. Pray that you would be with my special guest speaker, Tim Bench, as he presents a portion of your word. And we pray that you'll continue to bless him as he sows the seed of the kingdom. And we pray that you'll continue to watch over us and be with our listeners, Father, that who are listening to this show. We pray that they will listen well, and we pray that something may be said that will cause them to consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, for without his precious sacrifice, we will not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless our efforts as we preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on this broadcast. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank you for tuning in to What a Word from the Lord. We have a great show lined up for you this evening. My special guest speakers, I announced in the prayer already, will be my co-host, Tim Bench. He's one of my co-hosts on the Gospel Light radio show that airs on Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Looking forward to hearing a word from Tim, as always. And then in the second segment of the broadcast, we have a new segment called the Community Corner. And I have a special guest in that segment, Yvonne Blazing Crackers Gooch. I got to get used to saying that, because that's going to be my new sponsor on my Friday night show. So I certainly appreciate her coming on the broadcast this evening. And then in the third segment of the broadcast, I have a lesson that I'll be presenting on the show. It'll be a continuation of a series that I started a few weeks ago regarding adding to your faith, that text, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. So look forward to studying a portion of God's Word with you on the broadcast today. Thank you for joining us for What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. Enjoy the show.
Beautiful
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord with Stevie R. Butler. Now my special guest speaker, Tim Bench.
Good evening to all of our listeners, wherever you may be tonight. We'd like to welcome everyone to tonight's episode. My name is Tim Bench, and I'm calling in from Abilene, Texas, where I attend the Oldham Lane Church of Christ. And it's a pleasure to be with you this evening. It's always a pleasure to be a guest speaker on a show hosted by Stevie. My lesson for this evening is going to be entitled Paul and the Praetorian Guard. And I hope that this lesson tonight will be educational, beneficial, and spiritually constructive, and questions and comments are, as always, welcomed. So tonight, get your Bible out and let's study the Word of God together. The Philippian letter in the New Testament is one of the prison epistles of Paul. 16 times in 4 chapters, Paul uses the word joy or rejoice to speak of our relationship to the Lord and his people. This is extremely interesting considering that Paul was in a Roman jail cell at the time that he wrote. The Christians in the book of Philippians were well aware of Paul's circumstances, and we know this from the words of Paul himself, which serve as proof. From Philippians chapter 4, verse 14, "Nevertheless, you have done well to share in my affliction." Paul tells these brethren his imprisonment was actually increasing the progress of the gospel. There were literally sermons preached while he was in chains. Again, from Philippians, this time from chapter 1, verse 13, "So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." Even while under house arrest, Paul constantly makes reference to the cause of Jesus Christ. From Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31, "Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no one forbidding him." Paul was under the constant, watchful, Orwellian eye during his stay of the infamous Praetorian Guard. And the question as we get started this evening, what was this guard? What were the Praetorian Guards? What did that name mean? And I want to get started with a citation. This is from David H. Roper from his article, quote, "What Happened to Paul?" Quote, "The Praetorian Guard was a unit of 10,000 picked Roman soldiers, the elite men of the Roman Empire. The Guard was essentially Caesar's personal bodyguard. They were quartered in the emperor's palace. They were paid higher wages than any other soldiers. They were granted Roman citizenship, which was a great honor. They'd been instituted by Augustus Caesar some 70 years earlier, so they had a great heritage and tradition. They were courageous, brilliant, sophisticated, strong young men. They served for 12 years and then were retired. As the years went by, a large number settled right in Rome, and so they became an extremely potent political as well as military force, and they enforced their will on the Senate and on the people. Their candidate was always confirmed as emperor by the Senate. If you were going to evangelize the Roman Empire, you could not pick a more strategic group with which to begin. These were the opinion makers, the leading men of the nation, the men who went on to become commanders in the military and leaders in politics. And what was happening was that those men, in 4-hour shifts, were being chained to the Apostle Paul. They looked over his shoulder as he wrote the book of Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians. They listened as he talked to the leading Jews who came in to inquire about his faith and as he shared the gospel with others who visited him. And during dull moments of the day, I am sure he shared the gospel with the young man who was chained to him. You begin to wonder who was really the prisoner. One by one, they were being reached and led into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Caesar unwittingly became the chairman for evangelism of the Roman Empire. In chapter 4, verse 22, Paul sends greetings from the saints there in Rome, and he says, especially those of Caesar's household. That, of course, is the Praetorian Guard. One by one, these choice young men, the elite of the empire, were finding Christ, end quote. And it's noteworthy to keep in mind the elite of this empire, these choice young men, were finding Christ through the relentless evangelism, the relentless preaching of Paul, even when Paul is imprisoned. Paul's captors, these guards, would have known that he was not being held for normal reasons. He was not guilty of any real crime against the Roman Empire. So his situation would naturally spark interest and discussion given enough time. In this way, the message of the gospel was eventually being made known to the whole palace guard, Philippians chapter 1, verse 13. The word palace in this passage is Praetorian, which refers to, again, the Praetorian Guard. Paul refers to these guards because he surely knew that his readers were well familiar with him. The city was, after all, a Roman colony, and without a doubt, many of his readers would have had family members who were veterans or who had served at some point in the Praetorian Guard. In no other writing does Paul mention this elite and fearsome military guard. So who were these guards? This was a frightening, intimidating, elite military/police force as menacing as some sort of first century German Gestapo. From Marvin Vincent in Word Studies in the New Testament, quote, "The body was instituted by Augustus and was called by him Praetore Cohortis, Praetorian Cohorts, in imitation of the select troop which attended the person or the praetor or Roman general. Augustus originally stationed only 3,000 of them, three cohorts at Rome, and dispersed the remainder in the adjacent Italian towns. Under Tiberius, they were all assembled at Rome in a fortified camp. They were distinguished by double pay and special privileges. Their term of service was originally 12 years, afterward increased to 16. On completing his term, each soldier received a little over $800. They all seem to have had the same rank as centurions in the regular legions. They became the most powerful body in the state. Emperors were obliged to court their favor, and each emperor, on his accession, was expected to bestow on them a liberal contribution. After the death of Pertinax in 193 AD, they put up the empire at and knocked it down to Didius Julianus. They were disbanded the same year on the accession of Severus and were banished, but were restored by that emperor on a new plan and increased to four times their original number. They were finally suppressed by Constantine," end quote. In time, the Praetorian Guard became very nearly the emperor's private bodyguard force, so to speak, and in the end they became very much a problem. Again, let's keep in mind this was an intimidating, powerful, elite military force. They were concentrated in Rome. And there came a time when the Praetorian Guard became nothing less than the kingmakers. Inevitably, it was their nominee who was made emperor every time, since they could impose their will by force, if need be, upon the population. Edward Gibbon, in fact, claimed that the Praetorian Guard was, quote, "the first symptom and cause of the decline of the Roman Empire," end quote. From Wayne Jackson in the Christian Courier, quote, "The Praetorian Guard was a body of 10,000 specially selected soldiers in Rome. They had unusual privileges, double pay, becoming so powerful that even the emperors had to court their favor," end quote. Upon entering the city of Rome, Julius, a centurion of one of the Augustan regiment, from Acts 27, verse 1, handed Paul over to the prefect of the Praetorian Guard, or the commanding officer. The official duty of the prefect was to keep in custody all accused persons who were to be tried before the emperor. From Acts chapter 28, verse 16, "Now, when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was permitted to dwell by himself with the soldier who guarded him." And this becomes a very important footnote for us to study about Paul in prison. It's interesting here that Luke uses the phrase the captain of the guard, since there were usually two prefects or captains in the Praetorian Guard. But between the years 51 AD and 62 AD, there was only one prefect, and his name was Afrianus Burrus. It's believed by most scholars that Paul arrived in Rome about 60 AD. So again, we see another instance of Bible history matching up with secular history. It's also interesting to note that by the end of the second century, the work of the Praetorian prefect had been highly elevated. Again, from Edward Gibbon in his masterpiece, The History of the Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, quote, "The command of these favored and formidable troops soon became the first office of the empire. As the government degenerated into military despotism, the Praetorian prefect, who it had in his origin had been a simple captain of the guards, was placed not only at the head of the army, but of the finances and even of the law," end quote. So we can see the expanding importance of this group. Paul had been delivered to the Praetorian Guard to await trial before the emperor. Paul is twice referred to as having been bound in chains, where the Greek word halousis is used, in Acts chapter 28, verse 20, and Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20. What was the halousis? The halousis was a short length of chain by which the wrist of a prisoner was bound to the wrist of a soldier who was guarding him, making escape almost impossible. Literally, a prisoner would be chained to his guard in four-hour shifts, and at the end of 4 hours, another guard would come in and they would trade places. Paul's reaction and conduct when imprisoned is amazing. He doesn't slink off into some corner. He does not timidly and meekly abandon his evangelistic efforts, shivering in justified terror. Quite the contrary is the case. Arrested, imprisoned, certainly frightened, constantly chained to, surrounded by, and likely physically mistreated by, and assaulted by, and intimidated by this violent cast of hooligans, what is Paul's reaction? Paul continues to ceaselessly preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Though eventually he would be allowed some freedom as a Roman citizen, Paul was still under constant guard. In the course of 2 years, one by one, Praetorian guards would be on constant guard duty with Paul. But these guards were also under the constant influence of Paul and under the constant influence of the gospel. They couldn't help overhearing what Paul taught others. They could hear Paul as he spoke to others. They would hear him pray, and they would hear him sing praises to God. They would certainly note his courage and his gentleness, his loyalty to Christ, and his deep inner conviction. They would have noticed that Paul was no ordinary prisoner brought to Rome to entertain the crowds in the infamous Circus Maximus. He was an uncondemned Roman citizen, one who had appealed directly to Caesar. It's certain that Paul would have tried to teach his captive audience, meaning these soldiers chained to him. And it is likewise certain that Paul's efforts with these seemingly violent men produced Christians. From W.A. Criswell, in a sermon presented on June 13, 1954, entitled Paul's Iron Chain, quote, "There were 10,000 men in that Praetorian Guard. It was a personal corps of the emperor. No Gaul, no Greek, no man of any other nationality could belong to it, no one but a native Roman. They were the elite SS troops of the Caesar himself, and chained to these soldiers for 2 years and then longer again, I would think that all 10,000 of them had sat down by the apostle of Jesus Christ and had heard from the apostle himself the glorious story of the revelation of God in Christ Jesus. What can a man do who is chained? What can he do? What can a man in prison do? What did Paul do? Every Roman soldier of the elite that belonged to the Roman Caesar heard the gospel of the Son of God, and that is what a man in chains can do," end quote. Paul's imprisonment had opened the way for preaching the gospel to the finest regiment of the Roman army. All the Praetorian Guard knew why Paul was in prison, and many of them were eventually touched by the gospel. This is astonishing for us today to consider. It's astonishing in the 21st century, just as it would have been astonishing in the first century. Here we have Paul, imprisoned by this frightening and ruthless military force. Yet Paul did not cease preaching. He did not cease proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he did not cease preaching to the lost, even if the lost included members of this frightful military force. Paul declared that his imprisonment had actually been for the furtherance of the gospel. Even imprisoned, he had recognized and then seized the opportunity to preach. The news would spread from guard to the families of these guards, and then finally to Caesar's own household. This very sight had to give great comfort and fresh courage to the brethren who would read these letters. Paul ended the Philippian letter by saying in Philippians chapter 4, verse 22, "All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household." We can't help wonder today if we as Christians were arrested and imprisoned and held without trial and constantly chained to a guard for 2+ years, how would we react? Would we become frightened and timid and scared? Or would we be resolute and brave and courageous? And I think most of us would fall by the wayside and simply worry about ourselves and worry about how to appease the arresting authorities. Paul had no concern from that. From William Barclay, in his commentary, The Letters to the Philippians, Colossians, and Thessalonians, quote, "Paul sends special greetings from the Christian brothers who are of Caesar's household." It is important to understand this phrase rightly. It does not mean those who are of Caesar's kin. Caesar's household was the regular phrase for what we would call the imperial civil service. It had members all over the world, the palace officials, the secretaries, the people who had charge of the imperial revenues, those who were responsible for the day-to-day administration of the empire. All of these were Caesar's household. End quote. Being in custody provided Paul free rein to preach the gospel both to guards as well as to visitors, and Paul took every advantage possible of that opportunity. While in Rome, he was saved from many of the hardships and persecutions and afflictions that had often attended his preaching in the cities of Greece, Macedonia, and Asia Minor. From his rented quarters, he wrote 5 New Testament epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and probably Hebrews. From Acts chapter 28, verses 30 and 31, we read where Luke, the physician, ends the book of Acts with these words, "Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him." Again, citing William Barclay from the Acts of the Apostles, page 193, quote, "We wonder why Luke never told us what happened to Paul, whether he was executed or released. The reason is that this was not Luke's purpose. At the beginning, Luke gave us his scheme of Acts when he told how Jesus commanded his followers to bear witness for him in Jerusalem and all over Judea and Samaria and away to the ends of the earth, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now the tale is finished. The story that began in Jerusalem rather more than 30 years ago has finished in Rome. It is nothing less than a miracle of God. The church, which at the beginning of Acts could be numbered in scores, cannot now be numbered in tens of thousands. The story of the crucified man of Nazareth has swept across the globe in its conquering course until now, without interference, it is being preached in Rome, the capital of the world. The gospel has reached the center of the world and is being freely proclaimed, and Luke's task is at an end." End quote. from the Matthew Henry commentary. Quote, "The apostle was a prisoner at Rome, and to take off the offense of the cross, he shows the wisdom and goodness of God in his sufferings. These things made him known where he never otherwise would have never been known, and led some to inquire after the gospel. He suffered from false friends as well as from enemies. Since our troubles may tend to the good of many, we ought to rejoice. Whatever turns to our salvation is by the Spirit of Christ, and prayer is the appointed means of seeking for it. Our earnest expectation and hope should not be to be honored of men or to escape the cross, but to be upheld amidst temptation, contempt, and affliction. Let us leave it to Christ which way he will make us serviceable to his glory, whether by labor or by suffering, by diligence or by patience, by living to his honor and working for him, or dying to his honor and suffering for him." End quote. Tonight, what can we learn from the treatment of Paul? What lessons can we glean and take from the example of the Apostle Paul and the Praetorian Guard? First, even in the most challenging, difficult, horrid situations that we might find ourselves in, there are always opportunities foisted upon us to share the gospel with those around us. Even as in the case with Paul and the Praetorian Guard, with seemingly the most unlikely of recipients. Even when confronted by those much of society might deem as vile or frightening or morally bankrupt, those whom much of society might choose to flee from and avoid, a golden occasion to evangelize and to save a soul might well present itself. If gospel preaching can have an effect on the Praetorian Guard, that fearsome symbol of Roman might, then any person might be saved and might listen. Second, there is no excuse that we can personally muster to justify apathy on our part for the expected work of reaching the lost. Again, let's keep in mind, Paul had suffered shipwreck, and he still preached the gospel. Paul had been whipped, and he still preached the gospel. Paul had gone hungry, and he still preached the gospel. Paul had been jailed by the mightiest empire the world has ever known, and he still preached the gospel. No challenge today or any obstacle we will ever face will exceed those faced by the Apostle Paul, and we can certainly examine and learn from his example of relentlessly, constantly, continuously, incessantly, and unendingly taking up our cross for Jesus Christ. That is the lesson that we can draw from the Apostle Paul. Paul's ultimate fate, what was it? The Bible never provides specific details, but history certainly provides us details. Again, taken from A.T. Robertson's writings on the life of Paul, page 316, the following, quote, "The details are all wanting. Tradition supplies only a few, which may be true or not. The story is that Paul was beheaded on the Ostian Road. It was customary for criminals of prominence to be executed several miles out of the city so as to avoid the crowds. We may picture the event in a possible manner. One day, in late spring or early June, the executioners came to Paul's dungeon and led him out of the city. One is reminded of Jesus as he bore his cross along the Via Dolorosa. Paul, as a condemned criminal, would be the victim of the rabble's sport. He would have no defender. We do not know if Luke was with Paul to the very last. We may at least hope so. If he could, he would surely walk along as near Paul as would be allowed, but no band of Christians followed with him now. He was going out of Rome on his way to the true eternal city. He knew Rome well, but his eyes were fixed on other things. Outside the city, the busy, merry life of the time went on. The crowds flowed into town. Some were going out. Paul was only a criminal going to be beheaded. Few, if any, of the crowds about would know or care anything about him. At a good place on the road, some miles out, the executioners stopped. The block was laid down. Paul laid his head upon it. The sword or axe was raised, and the head of the greatest preacher of the ages rolled upon the ground. Tradition says that a Roman matron named Lucina buried the body of St. Paul on her own land beside the Ostian Road. Be that as it may, no Christian can come to Rome, especially by the Ostian Road, without tender thoughts of Paul, that matchless servant of Jesus, end quote. Finally, from Render Unto Caesar by John W. Quinn, quote, Nero was the Caesar to whom Paul appealed for justice, Acts 25, verse 11. After Paul was delivered to Rome, Nero placed Paul under house arrest, Acts 28, verse 19. Paul writes of teaching the gospel to some of the Praetorian Guard, and that some members of Nero's own household were Christians during his imprisonments, Philippians 1, verse 13, and Philippians 4, verse 22. Paul was eventually released, but then later rearrested and executed, end quote. Tonight, there's a direct question that we can apply to each and every one of our lives. Tonight, would you be this courageous? Would you be willing to die for the cause of Christ, as was Paul? Many of us today can't even bear to be inconvenienced, much less suffer or endure for Jesus Christ. As we mentioned at the beginning of this lesson, Paul repeatedly uses the word joy, an unusual term considering the dire circumstances he faced. Again, he was literally in prison as he was penning these writings, yet joy is precisely what Paul possessed and precisely what we should possess as dedicated followers of Jesus Christ. There is no greater mission in our lives, and there's nothing more important that we can or ever will do. The gospel has never lost its power to save and to change the hearts of men and women, nor can it. The question this evening is, have you lost your zeal? Have you lost your dedication to that same gospel? Where once, like Paul, you were ready to tackle any obstacle or to overcome any barrier and to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ anywhere and any time, have you now become lethargic or timid or apathetic? Is sharing the gospel no longer the center of your life and the focus of your being? Is sharing the gospel now merely an afterthought or something you think about once or twice a week and then go back to worries about money and acquisitions? Is your faith strong enough and resolute enough to share with boldness anywhere and under any circumstances, as was Paul's with the Roman military? If your dedication to the cause of Christ has waned, again, there's no better opportunity than tonight, here and now, to rectify that and to acknowledge that. Look into your own heart and honestly and brutally, if need be, examine yourself and your allegiance and dedication to the service of the Lord. All of us at times will stumble and fall short, myself included, certainly, but we know that all Christians will fall short of the perfection and glory of God, Romans 3:23. Again, tonight we hope that this lesson and this very brief examination of Paul's extraordinary dedication to and to the service of God can be pondered and examined by each of us, and likewise that familiar zeal can be applied to our own Christian faith as well. As always, if any listeners have any questions or comments, we always want listeners to feel free to submit those either through Facebook or through email or through calling in, and we always look forward to, again, sharing the gospel message again at some point together. We want to thank you for joining us tonight. Good night, and God bless you all. Thank you.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events and activities announced on this broadcast, please contact us at 910-425-1922 or send us an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. On March the 11th through the 15th, 2018, the National Churches of Christ Lectureship 2018, hosted by the local congregations in San Diego, California. The lectureship venue will be at the Hannery Hotel, and that address is 950 Hotel Circle North, San Diego, California, 92108. The point of contact, please call 619-298-3000. 6511. For NCOCL 2018 information, registration, and hotel accommodation, visit the website at www.ncocl.net. Just a reminder, tune in to Stevie B's Media Productions on Blog Talk Radio. There'll be three live shows I'll be hosting during the week. On Tuesday night, I'll be hosting What a Word from the Lord, and I have guest speakers on this broadcast each week. Also, we have a new segment, the Community Corner, where we'll be having guests in that segment as well. And then on Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll be hosting a live show, The Gospel Light Radio. And I have seven wonderful co-hosts who will be presenting lessons on that broadcast as well. And I'll be taking questions from my Shout It Out platform on social media and posing to my co-hosts on that show as well. And then on Friday night, I'll be hosting Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast. And that show will air from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on October the 1st through the 4th, 2018. The Southeastern Lectureship 2018, hosted by the West Oak Grove Church of Christ. And that address is 3455 Highway 51 South Hernando, Mississippi, 38632. Hotel information and registration, please contact the minister evangelist Kerry D. Wallace Sr. at telephone number 662-449-4191. On November 18th through the 23rd, the 80th Annual Southwestern Christian College Lectureship will be held at the Southwestern Christian College campus in Terrell, Texas. For more information, contact Richard L. Barclay, the lecture director, telephone to 404-05-8795. And that will conclude our announcements.
I woke up this morning, closed in my right mind. Thank the Lord, opening up the eyes of mine. Though I had the same problems in my life that I had when I lay down to sleep last night, and I feel much better, 'cause here's another day. I didn't earn, and that's enough to make me say, one more day. Thank you, Father, for another chance. Love my brother. One more time, see my family doing fine. I thank you for one more day, one more hour. I can touch and smell the pretty flowers. One more minute that I had to try and change the evil world while I'm in it. And I pick up the morning paper, turn to that page, and saw somebody died of my age. Read a little further, somebody lost their mother, somebody's sister gone, brother never will come home, father passed away, somebody's child won't see another day. One more day, thank you, Father, for another chance to love my brother one more time, to see my family doing fine. Thank you for one more day, one more time, that I can touch and smell the pretty flowers. One more day. Someone, I think you ought to tell them, 'cause if you wait until they're gone, show them how you feel, it might make you feel much better, but they need to know it's you. One more blessing, another chance. Love my brother in one more minute. But I have to try and change this evil world while I'm in it.
We've got to change the world.
Gotta do better.
Can't do tomorrow, cause that's too far away. Time to wait on no man. Heaven knows I'm right.
Gotta
do what you can while you can with all of your might. Now,
one more day. I thank you, Father, for another chance to love my brother one more time. One more day, one more hour. I can touch and smell the pretty flowers, yeah. One more minute that I had to try and change this evil world while I'm in it.
We've got to change the world.
Got to change the world.
Listening to the word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a new segment of the broadcast, the Community Corner. And what this segment is, there are people who come to the Lord's church looking for help. And sometimes we have to tell them, well, that's not a work of the church. And that might be the case in many cases. But we don't tell them where they can get help from. So, that's what this objective of this Community Corner is all about. It's designed to tell our listeners just what products and services are available to them. So people who have products and services to provide to the public will be guests on this show to tell us about what it is that they're doing in support of our communities and how you can contact them for the services. That's what it's all about. We just want to make the saints aware of what services are available to them. So on my in the Community Corner on this evening's broadcast, I have a special treat for you. My Yvonne Blazing Cracker Goot is my guest in the Community Corner.
Blazing crackers, they on fire. You need a treat, you're hungry, you need something. Oh, you need a treat, you're hungry, shouting up hungry, need something. Blazing crackers, B-L-A-Z-I-N crackers, yeah. B-L-A-Z-I-N crackers, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Goat. How are you doing, sis?
I'm doing well, my brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Tell us where you're calling from.
I'm calling from the wonderful state of Nashville, Tennessee.
All right, Nashville, Tennessee. Now, right off the bat, I just want to thank you for sponsoring the blast on Friday night. I really appreciate that.
Oh, for sure, for sure. That's just in my blood. That's just a given thing. I'm a giver of things, and Blazing Crackers is a part of it. So all you all listeners, you all better make sure you come back on Friday night. Because we got some surprises around here for y'all. Mm-hmm. Oh, I say y'all, I'm country.
I know that's right. Hey, now listen. Now tell us how you got started in this Blazing Crackers?
Okay, well, Blazing Crackers got started almost 11 years ago. I actually had a taste for this lady that I used to work with. I won't call her name. We'll leave her, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I just did not like the taste of what I had. And I'm a cook by nature. My grandmother, my aunt, my mother, they taught us well, you know, to know how to cook and taste things and tell what's in it, what's not in it, what it needs, so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just decided that, you know, I wanted to, you know, see if I can make a difference. So I, long story short, I got in the lab, which is my kitchen, and I just started mixing different things. And I had my son and all of his friends who are now grown, and they remember. They're my guinea pigs. And I had them tasting it, and they were like, no, this is not it. Until I finally, I think it was about 2.5 months, maybe 3 months. And I finally got it, and I went down the south side in Rogersville, Alabama, for the homecoming that they have every April. And I just kind of spread it out with the children. And when I tell you, those children love them. And that was kind of like the start of it.
Now, I've been waiting on my batch. I got mine yet.
Wait a minute. Hold on. First of all, you ain't told me you didn't get it.
I thought I told you I didn't get it.
No, sir, you sure didn't.
Well, I didn't get it. And
well,
I told my wife
sorry.
About it this afternoon.
I will definitely get it out there.
I will get it to you. Yeah,
I told
you, my wife, if you've been following on social media, she loves putting her food out there as well. And I told her about you. And I said, well, we've got some crackers coming our way as soon as we get them. So she waiting
well,
on
it's
them.
It's so strange. it's so strange. That's all right. You tried to blast me on yeah, I got you. I'm going to send, as a matter of fact, I'm going to send you, since your wife knows how to cook, I'm going to go ahead and send you all a full, because I have tea. I have a tea that I make. It's a fruity tea. It's not hot. Most people say, is it blazing too? No. Then I also have a popcorn, and I also have the crackers, which I have 8 different flavors, from plain, which is no heat, to the 8th flavor is like, yeah, I haven't eaten them. But me personally, I'm not eating them.
How long have you been doing these Blazing Crackers?
It'll be 11, almost 11 years.
Wow.
I think in April. It'll be 11 years in April, I believe it is.
That's good. Now tell my listeners now how they can get in contact with you so they can order some products.
Well, they can always check me out on Facebook. You can look under UVONNE BLAZINCRACKERS, last name GOOCH. Inbox me that away, or they can always text me at 615-485-1406. And that's how they can reach me, or they can email me with Blazing Crackers.
All right. Well, is there anybody you want to give a shout out to?
Yes, most definitely. I definitely want to give a shout out to my girl Melody Bailey. The jingle that you all heard, she is a phenomenal singer, writer. She wrote, arranged, and sung my jingle, and I will be forever grateful for Melody for that. You all look her up as well if you ever need any work done, because I promise you, she will never let you down. And
yeah,
shout
I love
out to
that jingle.
All of my crackerheads. All of my crackerheads. They should be listening.
All right. Yeah, I love that jingle that you have. It's very catchy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I let my head
now.
Yeah, I let my daughter listen to it today. She said, Daddy, who is that? I said, that's Blazing Cracker.
Yeah, you tell her that's Miss Melody Bayless, the one and only out of Texas.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I need to get up with Melody, too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Man, when I tell you amazing, amazing, that's an amazing young lady, and I thank God for her talent.
Well, put a bug in the air. Tell her to give me a holler so I can get her on my Friday night show. That's what
you
that show is all about.
She listening.
Oh, she is. Hey, Melody, if you're listening to the show tonight, give me a holler so I can get some of your tracks on the Friday night show. That is the blast, and that's what I'm doing on Friday night. But I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight and sharing your product with Community Corner.
And I want to thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yes, you are.
And to your listeners,
really,
thank you as well for listening.
Yes, yes, ma'am. You are welcome. And thank you for sponsoring the Blast on Friday night. I really appreciate it. And what
no
that
problem.
Is, ladies and gentlemen, I have the Talent Search show that goes on the Blast once a month. Next one won't be the deep of the 20th because I got some other things going on. But what Yvonne has agreed to do is sponsor the program. So those participants in that Talent Search show will be given prizes from her products. That's what we're going to do on the show. I certainly appreciate it. Thank you for what you're doing, and thank you for sponsoring these programs. I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right, and that's going to conclude this segment of the broadcast. Thank you, Yvonne, for coming on the show tonight. I'm going to hit the job of this jingle. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Yvonne, the Blazing Crackers Gooch. Thank you for being on the broadcast tonight.
Thank you.
God bless you.
You too.
Blazing crackers, they on fire.
You need a treat, you're hungry, you need something. So you need a treat, you're hungry, shout enough hungry, need something.
Blazing crackers,
B-L-A-Z-I-N crackers, yeah. B-L-A-Z-I-N crackers, yeah.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. You're listening to What a Word from the Lord with the host, Stevie R. Butler. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to thank my special guest speaker, Tim Bench, who was in the first segment of the show and also in the community corner, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch. I just want to thank them for coming on the broadcast tonight. I want to present a lesson when I come back on the other side of the break.
I'll be with the Lord.
I'll be with the Lord.
Through the valley of death,
through the valley of death,
I'm sure I must go,
I'm sure I must go.
So the wages of sin,
so the wages of sin,
I don't want to know,
I don't want to know.
I'll be judged by the deed,
I'll be judged by the deed,
and the seed I have sown,
and the seed I have sown.
I'll live with my Savior,
and I'll live with my Savior,
while the ages roll on,
and on.
While the ages roll on,
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 I'll be with my Lord,
I'll be with my Lord,
while the ages roll on,
while the ages roll on.
From the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to continue on with the 8-part series on the theme, Building on One's Faith. And that was the first part that I presented a few weeks ago. And then the second part of the study was adding diversity to faith. And we've been looking at the text in 2 Peter 1:5-7. So on tonight, we want to continue in this study, but we want to look at adding knowledge to virtue. The text that we have been looking at for the study is 2 Peter 1:5-7. Now, someone just sent me a message that I'm breaking up. Tell you what, let me switch my mic because I don't know if I'm still breaking up.
All right. Now, we want to look at 2 Peter 1:5-7. This is the text that we have been using for our study. And Peter says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. And that's what we want to add in, knowledge to temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And that's what this study is, ladies and gentlemen. We just want to look at each of these characteristics as we build on our faith. So on tonight, we want to look at adding knowledge to virtue. Peter instructs his readers to grow in knowledge. Peter understands that knowledge is an essential part of life, especially the Christian life. It should constantly be increasing and supplementing our faith. Understanding this, it is imperative to have a working knowledge of the scriptures, which is the focus of our lesson this evening. 2 points I want to give you for our study this evening. We want to look at first how to grow in knowledge, and then the second point I want to give you is why we must grow in knowledge. Well, how to grow in knowledge. Number one, read the scriptures. Read the scriptures. If one is to grow in biblical knowledge, it is logical to go to the scriptures themselves and spend time in simply reading them. Ezra did this in the time of Nehemiah the prophet, so the people would have a better understanding of the law of Moses. For the Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 3 and 8, and he read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. They read from the book, from the law of God, clearly, and they gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. I've just quoted from Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 3 and 8. In another example, which shows the importance of reading, consider when a copy of the law was found, and after being neglected during the time of Josiah, in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." One can't have the knowledge God desires if he doesn't take the time to read the word of God. Similar instructions is found in the New Testament as well. The Apostle Paul reminded the young evangelist Timothy to give attention to reading in addition to exhortation and teaching. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. Ladies and gentlemen, it is noteworthy that the Apostle Paul saw fit to mention reading first. Again, if one desires to have a good knowledge of scriptures, it must first be read. At times, it may be a good idea to consult reliable reference tools such as concordances or commentaries to gain a better understanding of what it is that we are reading in the scriptures. While caution must be exercised with outside resources, it can be beneficial to one's study as long as it is understood that such are simple tools not to be elevated to the same level as the scriptures themselves, for these sources are not inspired of God. They have just been revealed or given to us through educated and scholarly men. Number two, apply what has been read from the scriptures. Ladies and gentlemen, reading is beneficial and absolutely critical when it comes to obtaining knowledge, but it must be realized that reading alone isn't enough. What is read must be applied to our everyday lives. Otherwise, it is of no benefit at all. It is important to remember the words of James in James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. James says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like." James chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. Ladies and gentlemen, knowledge is a good thing, but it must be put to use. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. The second point that we want to look at as we consider our subject, adding knowledge to virtue, is why we must grow in knowledge. To understand the importance of spiritual growth, it is equally important to understand why one must grow in knowledge. The reasons will be discussed in the succeeding points. Number one, to go from infants to maturity is why we must grow in knowledge. Physical development of the body and mind takes place as a child grows from infancy to adulthood. Likewise, Christians must do this in a spiritual sense. There are instructions regarding this. Immaturity was why the Apostle Paul wasn't able to address the Christians at Corinth as he wished to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The Hebrew writer faces the same problem, which prompted his point that a knowledgeable Christian is one who is able to go beyond the basics. And this is in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12, and then chapter 6 and verse 1. The Apostle Peter likewise reminds his readers to grow in this manner in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Ladies and gentlemen, a lack of knowledge is one of the reasons some of the problems within the Lord's church exist today. If there were an unusually high infant mortality rate, there would be actions taken to determine the reasons why and how to prevent this high mortality rate. Yet, in a spiritual sense, some never grow past infancy. It is the duty of the mature Christians to assist them in their growth and walk in Christ. Number two, we must grow in knowledge to understand false doctrine and Satan. One of the Apostle Paul's great concerns for his brethren is found in his lesson to Ephesus. His desire was for them to not be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunnings, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. There are numerous warnings about false doctrines and those who teach them throughout the scriptures. They are written within the inspired pages so that we may not be deceived by error. Some brethren are led astray by these things simply because they do not study the scriptures as God intended them to be read. Rather, they look at them through the lenses of their presuppositions. Studying in context without preconceived biases will prevent this from being an issue. In addition to false doctrine, the Apostle Paul's other concern was Satan himself. Thus, he further instructs the Christians at Ephesus to withstand the devil by putting on the whole armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Just as a soldier must be adequately equipped to meet his enemy on the battlefield, Christians themselves must be equally prepared to meet our spiritual enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, knowledge is one way in which this can be accomplished. As seen from our study this evening, growth in knowledge isn't an option. It's a command. So let's continue to grow in knowledge. Amen. And I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Walking in sunlight,
yeah,
all of my journey,
over the mountain,
over the mountain,
through
the deep end.
Don't you know that Jesus has said, well, the Lord said, I'll never leave you. Oh Lord, that's a promise divine, a promise that never can fail. Oh, heavenly, y'all nothing like to do. Oh,
heavenly sunlight,
that keeps flooding my soul,
my soul
with His glory and His
holy divine.
Gotta keep on singing His praises. My Jesus,
my
listen. Oh, shadows around me. And even though there are shadows of me, Lord, never conceal my Savior,
my
God. Oh, don't you know that
He's alive?
Yes, and the Lord can be found on earth. That's why I'm walking so close
to His side.
Oh, heavenly,
heavenly,
y'all another light is good. Oh,
heavenly
sunlight, it keeps flooding my soul with His
glory.
Glory divine, oh, divine. Gotta keep on singing
His praises
to my Jesus,
my
most high God,
in the bright sun. I'm ever rejoicing,
oh, I'm pressing my way
onto
those mansions above. it. I'm gonna live without it. Oh, that is what my soul. With it so free, divine, so divine. Oh, 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 yeah. I gotta keep on the door. Gotta keep singing. My, 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 my Jesus is all mine. For the new life that you've given me, yeah. Oh, 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 yeah. I don't know why I'd be without you, Lord. That's why I'm singing your praise. You're all mine, you're all mine, you're all mine. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, just to change my life, making my life brand new.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord with Stevie R. Butler. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the part of the broadcast where I want to extend the Lord's invitation. And what this is, I don't know who's listening to this broadcast, but I do know this show is being picked up globally all over the world. But I don't know what your relationship with the Lord is. I don't know what you heard in your life. I have no idea. But I know as a child of God, I have been given a responsibility to sow the seed of the kingdom to the best of my ability. And this radio broadcast is just one way of me doing just that. If you are not a child of God, and one cannot be a child of God until you are a Christian, until you have been born again, as the Bible teaches, then you are lost outside of Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not lost 100 years from now. You're lost right now. It's not enough to be religious. We must obey the commands of the Lord. In order for a man to be saved, we must take heed and answer the gospel call. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. You must hear the gospel. John chapter 6 and verse 45. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 17. And the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. You must believe the same. Hebrews 11:6, the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must repent. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will all likewise perish. And then Paul would say again in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 that God commanded all men everywhere to repent. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 10 verses 32 and 33. Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men, I will not confess you before my Father. You must be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts chapter 10 and verse 48. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And if you are a Christian listening to this broadcast and you have not been faithful in your service to God, you can think on this thing again and repent and pray. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. And if you, I just want to encourage our listeners to visit a Church of Christ in your area. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you on the other side of the break.
God will make a way where there seems to be no way.
He works in ways
we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to What a Word from the Lord with Stevie R. Butler. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with me this evening in a study of God's Word. I want to thank my special speaker, Tim Bench, and this subject, the Praetorian Guard. Tim always does a great job, so I always look forward to hearing what he has to present from God's Word. And I also want to thank my guest, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Goats. That's my new sponsor. She was in the community corner tonight telling us about her products and services as well. I want to thank her for being on the broadcast. I just want to thank you all for your attention and your time on this evening. And it is my prayer that these lessons that have been presented on tonight and the things that you heard on the broadcast tonight have been beneficial to your spiritual lives and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened. And it is my prayer that God continue blessings upon your lives as well. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
Eradicate from your mind.
All right, true worship of worship. To kind of forget about all the trouble the devil's brought in our life. Give it over to God. Yeah. I want you to know right now at this time.
We gotta give him praise.
Let everybody worship.
Come on.
The Lord.
Let's worship.
Worship.
Oh, come on, saints. He's worthy.
Everything,
all the pain,
of pain,
that your troubles
may be worthy of the glory,
giving the praise,
yeah.
Oh, together we can, yes, we can.
Everybody,
oh, worship the Lord. I don't know about you, but it just showed no good to me. Troubles come, just hold on, got some change in hand. You might have fought some trials. You might have fought some tribulations here this morning. You might be feeling a little weary, but I came to tell you.
You do. Forget it, no. He'll never let you down.